With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Hugh Nissenson's novel, The Tree of Life, is the story in the form of a journal of a wasted New Englander living in Frontier, Ohio in 1811. The Tree of Life is a deceptively complex book which integrates the New Englander's alcoholic and sexual frustrations with the sparseness of wilderness life and an Indian bloodbath. Hugh Nissenson was born in New York and educated at Swarthmore, a Quaker college in Pennsylvania, where he encountered several incidents of anti-Semitism, one involving a dean who had learned of Nissenson's dream of going to Israel.
He blew up at me and became furious, asked me, was I a Jew? And I said yes, and then he became furious at the idea that we Jews had somehow permeated the school, and why did we... And I was absolutely appalled.
Nissenson also found that Swarthmore limited the number of Jewish students it would admit.
In many ways, it was a very important aspect of my education, because it enabled me to begin to articulate to myself a double vision about life.
When he was 24, Nissenson did go to Israel to write a film. Back home, he studied theater at Columbia, worked briefly for the New York Times, but decided that he wanted to create fiction. His parents told him they would support him for 2 years if he lived at home.
I learned how to write. I first learned how to write a sentence, and then I learned how to write a paragraph.
Nissenson began selling his short stories, and his early work was collected into his first book, A Pile of Stones. Other books followed.
My first four books were very much, all of them, concerned with Jewish identity in the 20th century and the metaphysic of being a Jew who was struggling with the Jewish idea of God and the meaning of Jewishness.
But Hugh Nissenson's astonishing novel, The Tree of Life, puts him squarely into the literary mainstream. Published by Harper & Row. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. When Hugh Nissenson began work on his novel, The Tree of Life, he didn't know it would be a 7-year project, but the book came out to rave reviews and was nominated for an American Book Award. Set in Frontier, Ohio in 1811, The Tree of Life is a journal maintained by a complicated alcoholic New Englander. A major character in the book is John Chapman, later known as Johnny Appleseed. Nissenson became immersed in his research. He recalls going to a salesman in a sporting goods store to find out what he could about the guns used in frontier days.
What did they smell like when you shot one? And I had to find out. Did they have a kick? I mean, how did you load them, really? And he brought out this gun, which is a Harper's Ferry, a Model 1803, which figures in the book.
Nissenson bought the gun, joined a gun club in New Jersey, and began collecting artifacts of frontier life. He wore the clothes and studied the language of the period. What developed was not a novel in the conventional sense, but a catalog in near poetic form of the day-to-day events experienced by everyday people living on the edge of civilization.
A novel to survive must move toward poetry, because you can't compete as a novelist with what a movie or television can do.
The matter-of-fact way events are described in The Tree of Life only emphasizes the horror of death and torture during an Indian uprising. The Tree of Life is as much art as it is a gripping and suspenseful story.
You paid me an immense compliment. You couldn't put the book down. Well, if I can't make people do that, I'm in the wrong game.
Hugh Nissenson's The Tree of Life was published by Harper & Row. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Hugh Nissenson is an expansive New Yorker who displays a passion about the things around him. Nissenson's fifth book, The Tree of Life, set in the Ohio wilderness of the early 1800s, has captured widespread critical attention. Nissenson says that after years of dealing with Jewish themes, he deliberately sought to attach himself to the mainstream of the American literary tradition. He calls it a rare privilege to live as an American and to see firsthand a language that continues to change.
I've always conceived of language as something evolving all the time, growing all the time. It is alive, because our brains are alive. It seems to me that the artist must always be alert to the living nature of a tongue.
Hugh Nissenson believes there are two elements that are vital in fiction. One is sex, which he says is somehow personified by the lurid covers of the old pulp science fiction magazines he loved, in which scantily clothed women were inevitably in the clutches of a metallic monster.
It was so sexy when I was a kid. The only kind of pictures of girls you could get were on the covers of these magazines.
Right.
And that plays an important role. I mean, sex is one of the things that, after all, is exciting about life.
And Nissenson believes that writers must also write about war, because without conflict, there can be no art. He recalls visiting his daughter's high school English class.
They were discussing Oedipus Rex, and they're 15-year-olds. And I was aware that here it is. I mean, my story of incest, murder, I mean, but this is the stuff out of which great art and great feelings come.
In The Tree of Life, Hugh Nissenson has also returned to an old love, art, for he created the book's illustrations, which were put on exhibition at a New York gallery. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.